You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joy Zhang. It's the greatest day of the year so far for television, I would say. It's the Emmy nominations are announced. But I don't know. It's not the greatest day of the year. It's definitely not the best movie of the year. But maybe for TV so far, especially if you're... you know, one of these shows that were nominated 20 plus times. The Emmy nominations are announced earlier today. Joyce and I are going to talk all about it. Before we start, I'll just run through quickly some brief stats about the nominees. The most nominated shows this year were The Crown and Mandalorian, with 24 nominations. Incredible. Followed by WandaVision with 23 nominations. And Joyce and I have to talk about that later because we both mocked WandaVision for its multiple writing submissions.
We really should have had Caitlin, our Marvel correspondent, back for this.
Maybe we talked to Caitlin this week about this because there's so many ridiculous Marvel things to cover. I really think we could sustain it. Handmaid's Tale with 21 nominations, a resurgence season for it. SNL with 21 nominations. Ted Lasso, the most nominated comedy, with 20 nominations. Lovecraft Country, the canceled HBO drama, 18 nominations. Queen's Gambit, 18 nominations. And Mayor of Easttown, 16 nominations. Because of all those HBO nominations that you just heard there, HBO Max had the most total nominations with 130. Netflix was second with 129. And then the top four were Disney Plus with 71 and NBC, the only network there, with 46. Joyce, what a fun morning here. I'm thrilled. I'm still going through it. There's countless Emmy nominations and just dozens and dozens.
I'm only like an eighth through everything.
I'll tell you what, I've gone so deep. I've actually gotten to
good for NBC.
I've gotten to the Quibi portion of the nominees. There were 8 Quibi nominees, even though it doesn't exist.
Listen, 2 minutes into the announcement and we had a Quibi mention.
Amazing. We had Quibi for Free Rayshon. Great job. The Emmys, let's just start. I wanted to start there just to dunk on this quickly. Frank Shmerma comes out to say how great it is that everybody's back together in person. We're going to do an Emmys. We're celebrating creativity and back on sets. And it's so great to be everybody arm in arm again. We have vaccines rolling out and this and that. And then he's like, and here to introduce the Emmys are Ron Cephas-Jones here in LA and his daughter, Jessica Cephas-Jones, is in New York. And they're not on the same screen. They're not together.
I thought they were chosen not just because, you know, they both won last year, but because they're related and they would be together.
Exactly. And especially because, like, we saw with the Oscars, they were doing like paired presenters who were related or in a pod together, right? Like, that was like the Oscars thing where it was like, oh, we'll put two people who know each other together or whatever. They're more to be more comfortable or whatever it is. This, you're just, it's a father daughter duo. You expected them to be sitting there together and they're separate. It was very sweet. I thought their interaction was very, the banter was a little too banterish, but I did find it a little sweet.
It you know, I think it was just a microcosm of what we all did last year.
Yeah. It was like Bo Burnham inside, like FaceTime with your mom. It was a lot of delay, a lot of awkward pauses and not maybe hearing. But it just cracked me up that they were not together especially after the big joyous opening of, oh, we're so excited to be together again.
But and now
we're
gonna be on Zoom. Daughter.
Amazing.
But anyway, yes. one show you haven't mentioned yet in the tallies, it did not hit double digits, but it did get double nominations. And that's Emily in Paris.
Truly amazing.
For best comedy series. And I just want to say, this is the beginning of the Globe's redemption arc. Because we dunk on it so hard when it got nominated there. And obviously the expose came out soon after and everything. And now it's falling apart. And who knows, you know, when it'll be back. But, you know, like, no one can say anything anymore. Like, the Television Academy nominated for series.
I didn't realize how many Golden Globes voters voted for the Emmys. It's, I know.
We thought there wasn't like an overlap.
Apparently it's a full overlap.
I know.
Who knew? Yeah, the Emily in Paris. I mean, I don't even know how we're even calling it now.
I just want to know if anyone predicted that.
It was 100-1 on our odds. I couldn't even bring myself to predict it. amazing flex if anybody did. And if anybody's out there listening to this and they did predict it, please tweet at us.
Please let us know. Please.
I'd have to give you major props. Let's start there, Joyce. Outstanding comedy series. Like you said, Ted Lasso had 20 nominations, totally expected. But the nominees for comedy series were Blackish, Cobra Kai, which you have been trumpeting the entire last month or two, and very exciting for you. I was thrilled. I actually let out a little yay when they got nominated because I knew you'd be so thrilled. Emily in Paris, Flight Attendant, Hacks, which they really love, the Emmys. Kaminsky Method, Pen 15, which was another maybe show that I think was not a, maybe a surprise, but a little bit of a surprise. And then Ted Lasso. Good list.
Yeah, you know, the only shocker here is obviously Emily. You know, like I think like Blackish, like I was like kind of on the fence about because they haven't nominated it since 2018. But I think it was helped by, you know, a lot of shows being ineligible this year. And I think really what we saw this year, like overall, is like people just kept turning to old faces like over and over again. And they just checked off the familiar. So Blackish, good for getting back in. And also because it got back in, there won't be a shutout for broadcast shows and comedy for the first time, because for the last 2 years since Blackish was snubbed, The Good Place held it down for broadcast and comedy. Mm-hmm. That's over. So Blackish got back in. So there still hasn't been a year without a broadcast nominee in comedy series. And Cobra Kai, I just thought like that was, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'm shocked, but like, you know, it didn't get any acting nominations in actor or even like Elizabeth Shue in guest actress. But I think like, I think another lesson is that shows on Netflix like Cobra Kai and Emily in Paris are helped by the visibility. You know, even if they don't get like a lot of actors, and like Bridgerton didn't overperform in acting, you know, we were all predicting for drama series, but I think like their popularity, as we've seen, like with the SAG Awards, like their favorite streaming service is Netflix. So I think that that's helped a lot. And I don't know if it'll change going forward as we like get back to semi-normal, but I think with COVID last year, like a lot of people are just turning to the top streaming service, which is Netflix.
Very, very astute point. I would say like, I think that is 100% true. And I think a lot of the shows here that were quote unquote snubbed are like our like Girls Five Eva snubbed pretty much across the board. It got a writing nomination for.
I mean, like pilot. I knew that was probably going to happen, but you know, I was hope fixing it. And Peacock, poor Peacock.
Right. So like Peacock, a fledgling service, not really showing up here. And even Apple TV, you know, Ted Lasso, it had Apple TV overall 20 nominations for Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso was like truly the breakout show, I'd say, probably, or on the short list of like the five biggest breakout shows of the pandemic, that even people who don't have Apple TV or are familiar with it were watching it on Apple TV. And I thought maybe that would extend like the life of like the other Apple TV content, but it really didn't. Dickinson was not here represented here. Mythic Quest was not represented here. So like really like a lot of these secondary, like you said, like the top streaming platforms performing, like everybody watches Netflix, like no matter what it is. And it's, the visibility is so high that it's harder for these smaller streaming platforms with the shows that aren't like a Ted Lasso to break through. And I mean, I think we saw that over and over again. I guess Pen 15 would be the exception on Hulu, but I think that has been building, you know, kind of.
Yeah, and I got into writing 2 years ago, which
right. So it's like, it's kind of like had a little more momentum, which is maybe like maybe Mythic Quest then for its, you know, season two or whatever that has been acclaimed this year would maybe get in. Who knows?
It got in. It got in for Anthony Hopkins.
Right. Hilariously, it did get in for Anthony Hopkins for narration. And that's a great category because Julie Andrews is also nominated for Bridgerton.
I mean, you know, we could have a lot of Oscar winners win Emmys this year. Like him and Daniel Kaluuya and Emerald Fennell.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. The other thing on comedy, I would say, like, we knew Ted Lasso was going to be like a major force. It seems like still poised to win. It got, I think, 4 acting nominations in the supporting actor, right? Like, didn't all 4 guys get in? Is that right?
Yeah, I think everyone except Bill, right?
Right.
Luckily, I put Brendan back in at like 10:30 this morning.
I had him in. I actually put Jeremy Swift in. They had, Goldstein, Brett Goldstein, Brendan Hunt, Nick Muhammad, and Jeremy Swift all got in for Ted Lasso.
Yeah, so I put Jeremy in. I swapped Brendan for Jeremy last night, and I put Brendan back in this morning.
I had popped out Ray Romano for Made for Love, because I was just like, you know what? That show no one's really talking about. And Ted Lasso is great. And also Jeremy Swift, not only hilarious as Higgins, let's just assume, I'm like making an assumption we don't know about. Like, who knows who the fourth of the four Ted Lasso nominees were? Maybe they were honestly the top four in this whole thing. But I'm like, if Jeremy Swift was like on the edge, I was like, he actually has, for anybody who's watched the second season screeners, I'm like, they have been out for a while. He's really great in season two. And I felt like that kind of like maybe pushed him over, at least for me, as like, oh, of course.
When voters have season two already, I guess.
I feel like they probably would. If we do.
If we have it.
If I got it.
Then they just text to Jason and be like,
yeah. But yeah, so like, so Ted Lasso did great. I mean, obviously the other I would say overperformed was Hacks, which I think.
Totally.
15 nominations. Is it possible? I mean, I guess we'll see. Like we said, the second season of Ted Lasso is going to be airing throughout Emmy voting, meaning it'll probably continue that momentum and people will be like, I love Ted Lasso. And the early reviews that came out yesterday are all like, it's just as good as season one or as good as season one. You know, it's like not, it didn't take a step back. But is there a world where Hacks actually pulls an upset because it got so many nominations, including in guest and comedy act and supporting actor, Carl Clemens Hopkins, who I did not predict. And I don't think a lot of people predicted at all.
Not at all. Like, I thought it was, if it was going to get another supporting nomination, it might be like Caitlin Olsen.
Right.
You know, but good for him.
He's great on it. Yeah. It's really funny. Yeah,
Most of his scenes are, you know, except when she's away, most of his scenes are with Jean Smart. But he also has his own storyline. Yeah, I moved Hacks to number two a couple weeks ago because I think most people still have like Flight Attendant number two. I don't know if that's just because they haven't been updating or they're
behind
Hacks, but I just felt like there was just a lot of momentum with Hacks. And that was like the same time when I just put Hannah Einbinder in because I was like, yeah, she's not going to get snubbed. Like, I know people were so wary about that because she's a newcomer. And, you know, she's like, she's a co-lead, but she's like in supporting. But it was just kind of like, there was so much buzz around Jean Smart and like, they are co-leads. And I feel like if you like Hacks and you're voting for Jean, there's no way you're not going to check off Hannah as well in supporting. And so, yeah. And it has 15 nominations.
And so
I don't think a lot of people expected that. It has more than the Flight Attendant.
It's a lot more. Flight Attendant only had 9 nominations.
Yeah.
I don't think Ted Lasso will lose. But I think
that I think Ted is still winning series, but I think Hacks, this just confirms my suspicion that Hacks is too. And I think Hacks could probably maybe be on like Gene, maybe when like writing.
I think when writing, and I could actually make the argument for Hannah, because I think you could argue that the Ted Lasso, Hannah Waddingham and Juno Temple could split the vote. And like, if she's like a solid three, you know, maybe that actually she wins. Cause if you look at the comedy supporting actress, let me find that. This is thrilling. You've got Rosie Perez for Flight Attendant. She made it in. Hannah Einbinder, Adi Bryant, Kate McKinnon, and Cecily Strong, all from SNL, Juno Temple and Hannah Waddingham for Ted Lasso. If they're going to say like, they're going to be a lot of vote splitting in there, then I think maybe Hannah actually could win. Hannah Einbinder.
It's true. Like I think like Hannah Waddingham, I think she just like, she's been like the consensus, like standout supporting actress. So I think she's like slightly ahead of Juno, but yeah, if like Juno has some like swell of support, but I think it's more likely that all the Ted guys in supporting actor cancel each other out. Cause there's no like consensus.
Like, that's true. I don't think any of them will win. Them. Yeah,
I don't think any of them will win. And I don't know, like, I thought, like, I had Bowen Yang at number one this whole time, but Keenan came through with double nominations.
Amazing. I still did see Bowen Yang winning. I guess the only Ted Lasso actor I would pick there would be Brett Goldstein, and only because actually, again, I'm putting way too much stock in this, and maybe he'll win next year, but he's actually great in season two. And has like a much bigger part.
Listen, it'll be airing when they're voting.
So that's why I'm like, if it's airing when they're voting and people are like not maybe paying super close attention, they may be like, wow, Brett Goldstein's great on Ted Lasso, and I'm just going to vote for him, which would be true. Just you're voting for him for season one, which he was also good on. But yeah, I could see Bowen Yang.
He's the most like sympathetic character out of all of them, which is why I was like kind of wary about like Phil getting in as well. And although I did consider like, what if I just put all 5 Ted Lasso guys?
I mean, why not? Maybe next year, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll be really curious to see how Hacks performs because it did exceedingly well.
Yeah, because in writing, Ted has 2 nominations, right?
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, Ted has 2. Flight Attendant has 1. Pen 15 has 1. I know a lot of people are predicting 2 for Pen 15, so only got 1. And then Girls Five Eva, at least it got a writing nomination, which Kimmy Schmidt was never able to do.
I mean, like, that bodes well, I think, for the future of Girls Five Eva. They renewed it for season 2. Obviously, like, this, we're going to think of it as like a future version of Pen 15, where it's like, oh, it got a writing nomination, then later, you know, people kind of embrace the show a little more and it gets more buzz and more people realize what Peacock is or whatever it is, maybe after the Olympics. I'm sure that's what NBC is hoping. And, you know, season 2, it gets more nominations.
I mean, it didn't even get any like music nominations.
Pretty shocking that it did not get the music nominations. I just want to go, while we're here, let's just go to that category. Because like, I was shocked it didn't get in there. It truly remarkable. The nominees in there, we'll do this quick because I want to go to like into drama in the bigger categories, but the Girls Five Eva getting snubbed.
It's like songwriting is a great category.
Songwriting is a great category. I love a lot of these, but I cannot understand how Girls Five Eva isn't on this list. Bo Burnham Inside, they only submitted 1 song for Bo Burnham. It was comedy. The song rules. Bo Burnham rules. I love that special. Weigh in on this. I hope it wins, honestly. The Boys got a nomination here for Never Truly Vanish. Good for the Boys. This one, I was actually scratching my head because I watched Queen's Gambit twice. I honestly don't even know this one. Queen's Gambit.
I don't remember it either, but I know like they've talked about the song, but I have not rewatched it to look for it.
Amazing, because like the Queen's Gambit music and especially the score is like my favorite. The score is amazing.
It's great. Yeah.
So good. I hope it wins. Truly one of my favorite scores in a long time. But the original song here, I can't remember. I can't remember Love. I can't remember this. I can't remember this song. I just don't even know what it is. But congratulations on the nomination. Soundtrack of Our Lives gets the End Titles nomination for Mark Shaiman. Sure. And then WandaVision, Agatha All Along, presumptive victory for that. And then also Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist song, Zoe. Crimson Love.
Yeah. You know, Girls Five Eva deserves 1 in here.
I guess the consolation prize is that they'll be famous Five Eva, Joyce. So it's fine.
But come on, like New York Lonely Boy.
maybe they cancel each other out. I don't know. That's a shocker. That was actually shocking to me. Anything else on comedy before we move on to drama?
Comedy, what else is there? Oh, A.D. Bryant, double nominee as well.
Amazing work, A.D. Bryant. Love it. And the only nominee Shrill, which I thought was like significant. That
yeah,
she,
I don't, like, I mean, like, I think some people thought she could get in for SNL again, but like Shrill, that which is also over.
So Shrill's over. I also was kind of honestly surprised she got in for SNL because like, I didn't think because she wasn't on it as much this season, you know, and I wondered if she was actually going to get in. I was not surprised by Cecily Strong, excuse me, and Kate McKinnon, but I was like, oh, maybe like Chloe Fineman gets in here or something, but no, I don't know. I was surprised.
Maybe it was just like all like people like caught up on Shrill last year and then they just love her so much that the actors who get to vote in the acting categories, they just nominated her wherever they could.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to argue A.D. Bryant rules. So like good for her to get 2 nominations. It was just a surprise, I guess. That's all.
Yeah. But also in lead, you know, a case of just going back to what they already know, like Tracy Ellis Ross, who was nominated last year, which a lot of people were not predicting. She's back. And Allison Janney.
So I had Allison Janney. I had her in there for weeks. Just like, got to pick Allison Janney. You know, mom is over, like swan song for mom. And then this morning I was like, what am I talking about? No one's talking about mom. Allison Janney's not getting nominated for this. I popped her out and then she gets nominated. I honestly don't even remember who I switched her in for. I don't even know why I made a switch. She had just kept it.
She got back in and William H. Macy got back in.
Yeah.
An actor.
Yeah.
You know, we're over the college scandal. So
I guess so. And the Emmys highlighted that him and Felicity Huffman are two of the husband and wife both won Emmys on the short list of husbands and wives who have both won Emmys in their life. Oh, congrats to them, I guess. Let's do drama now. I want to do drama and then we'll close out with limited series because it's such a goof and we get to talk about Hamilton there, I would imagine. So drama, like we said, The Crown of Mandalorian, both with 24 nominations, Handmaid's Tale with a strong 21, Lovecraft Country with 18. The other nominees here were Bridgerton with 12, Pose with 9, This Is Us with 6, and The Boys with 5. Not a lot of surprises here for the best drama series.
No, and I think the 8 drama series nominees were the predicted 8.
Yes, as we said a lot in the last episode of this, chalk. They went chalk here, totally chalk.
You said chalk.
I guess I said chalk a lot. It was me. I'm saying it again, chalk.
Yeah, I think the only it was like people were just kind of concerned, rightfully so, about like the last 3 slots between The Boys, which had never been nominated before here, and whether Pose and This Is Us could return. But again, they just went back to what they know, and I also feel like the shows that didn't get in, they were just kind of, you know, maybe too underseen and just not buzzing enough, like in treatment. Or, well, Falcon Winter Soldier, I think, is seen, but I don't think it's on par with like WandaVision.
No.
So yeah, so this 8. And then let's go to supporting, because both supporting categories, like literally just The Crown and Handmaid's Tale, basically. Meanwhile. Especially actress.
Yeah, so let's start with actress, supporting actress in a drama series. Gillian Anderson, Helena Bonham Carter, Emerald Fennell, and then Madeline Brewer, Anne Dowd, and Yvonne Strahovski, and Samira Wiley. So that's The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, and then Anjanae Ellis for Lovecraft Country. Good for her.
What if like Anjanae Ellis wins?
I mean, because like we said, she's the only one who's not.
Though like Gillian Anderson makes the most sense.
Gillian Anderson definitely makes the most sense, and I'd argue she's a lead, certainly. So I feel like she's got the most meaty part here. The Emerald Fennell nomination, you know what? She's actually good.
I was on that like since she won the Oscar. I was like, she's getting in. I don't know why anyone's not predicting her.
There she is. So and then The Handmaid's Tale, everybody coming back. Like we said, I mean, not a total surprise that The Handmaid's Tale was so strong, because like the season has been like kind of a resurgence, I'd say, at least critically.
Yeah. I mean, like we've talked about before, like how this was kind of like sort of like a make or break season for them, because it did go down last year. And, you know, it was a more competitive field last year, and Elizabeth Moss missed. So but creatively, the season was a return to form. So it was just a matter of like, were people still watching, were voters still watching it? And I think it was also helped by, you know, the lack of other shows, like it's the lack of competition. So again, people were turning back to like what they know, and then they just checked off like literally all the actors except Joseph Fiennes, I think.
Yeah, he did not make it. Pretty amazing. I mean, you could say that, like you've been saying, like This Is Us too. So Sterling K. Brown, an actor, a lead actor nominee, and then Chris Sullivan also in there for supporting actor.
Justin Hartley. I don't think he's ever gonna get it. I mean, he only has one more chance, but yeah, if he couldn't get in this year, he's never getting in. Poor guy.
Anything else standing out? The supporting actor, we got Giancarlo Esposito in there. John Lithgow, I thought was maybe a surprise for Perry Mason. I don't know.
That is John Lithgow.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
Mm-hmm. Oh no, Giancarlo, since he's nominated here, because last year he was nominating guest for The Mandalorian, so now he's here and supporting for The Mandalorian. So he joins Jonathan Banks as the only two people to be nominated in this category for 3 different shows. Amazing. And they both share 2 of the same shows.
It's awesome. I could see him winning. I mean, Michael K. Williams again is like the favorite here, at least according to our odds going into the nominations, but I can make an argument for honestly any of these nominees. And I think this is going to be like kind of like a toss up.
Michael K. Williams is helped by the fact that Lovecraft did very well.
Yeah.
And you know, it got, I think, 5 acting nominations, even though it like over the winter, it really underperformed with individual nominations, except for him. So, and I think he's someone that at least fans want to see rewarded, even though he's been nominated before and has never won, but I think a lot of fans just want to see him rewarded. So I could see him still like being the front runner. The Handmaid's dudes, I think everyone likes OT this season. but I don't know.
And he's
know.
Got Black Widow, which was, he's good.
In his three scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, I find Giancarlo at one, even though he doesn't really do a lot, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I could see him winning. And what if it's just the crown, like sweeping every single acting category?
Very, very easily could be. I could definitely envision a world where Tobias Menzies wins for the crown. Absolutely. The other thing I want to, while we're doing supporting and guest act and drama, I want to go to guest actor because, like we said here, Don Cheadle, a nominee for Falcon and Winter Soldier for 2 minutes of screen time as War Machine. Just an awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Kaylin timed it and it was like, I think she said it was like a minute and 45. In the museum scene, like walking through the exhibit, and then it's like 15 seconds of his reaction shots when Sam is giving the speech.
That's amazing. We absolutely have to talk to Caitlin about this normal stuff. It's just too good.
But no JLD in guest actress.
Shocking, no JLD. I just want to read the tweet you sent me from Don Cheadle. Thanks, well-wishers. Sorry, haters. Agreed, whatevers. I don't really get it either, but on we go.
Good for him.
Great Emmy statement. More nominees should tweet, should say stuff like that when they're nominated.
Yeah. You know what, that, though? I'll predict that for next year, he'll get nominated for narration for the Wonder Years reboot. And maybe he'll
good.
Even win. Why not? He's never won before.
The other guests in that, other nominees in that, two Mandalorian actors, Carl Weathers and Timothy Olyphant, and no Mark Hamill, which I was shocked by, to be honest.
I did not end up putting in Mark, but I kept Bill Burr. So. It was a wash for me.
And nothing really on the any other guest.
There's no McDreamy for you.
I was bummed. I'm not gonna lie. I think he should have got nominated. That was a snub. And Felicia Rashad got in for guest actress. So good for her, I guess.
Well, you know, as we mentioned before, voting closed before her tweet.
Yeah, good for her. Good for her timing, I guess. Not maybe for
got it in just under the line. So,
anything here for? I mean, I think we all expect the crown to just run away here, right? But does the Mandalorian's amount of nominations make it a serious threat? I don't think so. But what do you think?
For drama series, I don't think so. I mean, well, maybe. Like, do you think the crown can win all four acting categories?
Well, I think it'll win Best Actress and win Best Supporting Actress. And it seems like the other, I could see, I don't know. I'm not convinced Josh O'Connor is going to win Best Actor just because while he's great, I don't know. I don't think he's as much of a slam dunk as like Emma Corrin and Gillian Anderson. And then Best Supporting Actor, I could see Tobias Menzies winning, especially if I don't know what his submission episode is. I don't know if you know, but if it's the finale, when he has that great, he has like a great scene right at the end. It's actually like the last scene of the show with Princess Diana. And it's so good. I was like, if that's his submission, he could win just on that. Because it's like the end of the season. It's like the lasting message of the season is delivered by him. And it's like really good. So I think he could win. But I mean, it could sweep all four. I'm just not convinced Josh O'Connor's going to win. But then I don't know who would win. I guess Regé Jean Page I could see winning. But who knows?
I could see... I would right now, I'd say maybe like Billy Porter's in second, just because Pose made it back in and MJ Rodriguez got into actress.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he also like has a, you know, a lot of baby scenes in the final season. Actress, I can see an argument, a case made for Elizabeth Moss, given The Handmaid's Tale's overperformance.
Well, that would be interesting. And especially because like, Olivia Colman feels like she's not actively participating in any.
And like she wouldn't care anyway if she won.
So she's like not really. So it's like basically like then you're left. It's not like Emma Corrin versus Olivia Colman. It's like Emma Corrin versus Elizabeth Moss. And, you know, I don't know. I think the Diana stuff was so compelling, but you're right. Like maybe recency bias combined with like Elizabeth Moss is like a past winner or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And she also directed 3 episodes this season.
Right. I could definitely see her winning. I mean, that would be kind of like surprising, but I could see it.
Yeah. And then you know what? Shout out to Uzo Aduba, who we knew was getting in because they just love her and she gets nominated for everything and wins for almost everything. So
good stuff. Very, very excited. Let's go to, should we do the limited category?
Sure. Limited. What else would we go to? I guess Variety. I don't know. Oh, we can talk about Variety. The first nominee was Conan, and
which we were very excited by. No Seth Meyers nomination, which I just find really shocking. Remains shocking.
Still hasn't gone in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of Farrell nominations this year. So I'm happy for Conan. I hope he can win. I don't think he'll win because they're very lazy.
I don't think he's going to win. I also don't know how many other nominations he got, right? Like, let's see, Conan.
He usually gets like stuff for like his like offshoots, those like interactive stuff.
But Conan only got one. And I noticed the Daily Show only got one. Colbert, I think, got more than one. He got four for Late Show. And Jimmy Kimmel got two. And then obviously Last Week Tonight got a ton. So based on that, it seems like Last Week Tonight again is going to win because it's got the most nominations of the late night shows in this category.
You know, maybe people will just feel nostalgic for Conan and vote for him.
I mean, that would be great. Love Conan. It'd be so nice, but I just don't think anything's going to be Last Week Tonight. I would have made the case for the Daily Show, but without a writing nomination, which is pretty shocking, based especially because the show is so well written and like
what
really
did get into writing. For
what's that?
Variety. I didn't have to get what got into writing for.
Let me look here. Hang on.
I have not looked at that at all.
We're going to do this live. We're doing it live. Writing. Let's see. Writing.
Oh, Amber Ruffin.
Right.
Okay.
Amber Ruffin Show, Black Lady Sketch Show, Last Week Tonight, Late Show with Colbert, and Saturday Night Live. Those are the.
So Seth didn't even get into writing.
No, Seth got
in. He usually gets a writing nomination.
He got directing for a variety series, Late Night with Seth Meyers, and an outstanding short form comedy for their corrections segments on YouTube, and that's it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, tough beat. That's a tough beat. But I don't know. I think John Oliver will win. And then what was the other variety specials? I was excited. I'll just plug this. I'd interviewed the producers of the inauguration. They got nominated. The executive producers of the Biden inauguration were on there for live variety special, like live variety special.
It's because of you. They did it.
Certainly. And then also while we're talking variety, you got to talk about Friends. We have an opportunity here for Courtney Cox to become a
friend. I'm actually wearing my Moistmaker shirt in honor of her, Moistmaker, because she, you know, producers haven't vetted yet for the series nominations, but she'll most likely get approved because most of them usually do, because she and the other five actors produce the special. So she'll finally be an Emmy nominee because she was never nominated for the show when it was on, nor has she gotten a nomination for any other primetime series she's done. She has a daytime Emmy nomination for Celebrity Name Game, but it's coming full circle for her because she'll get her first Emmy nomination for Friends.
It's amazing. This is a great place. This is a great place to pivot onto our next thing because Outstanding Variety Special pre-record. The nominees are The Friends Reunion is among the nominees. Also, Bo Burnham Inside, which I was excited for. David Byrne's American Utopia, which makes Spike Lee an Emmy nominee for directing a variety special. So he got a nominee from the Emmys for directing, but not the Oscars this year. So good for Spike. 8:46, the Dave Chappelle special. A West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote is nominated here. And then finally, Hamilton, the Disney Plus musical. Have you heard of this, Joyce? Hamilton?
No, please tell me more about it.
Well, apparently it's a huge deal and it won Tony Awards 5 years ago. And now it's an Emmy nominee.
Half a decade ago.
Now it's an Emmy nominee in multiple categories, including for acting. Just a legendary flex, I feel like, for Hamilton. Let me find these. I want to just read them off because it was so funny. I was like, wow, they really did nominate everyone. For actor in a limited series. Lin-Manuel Miranda and Leslie Odom Jr. both nominated, like they were at the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leslie Odom won. Not nominated here was Ethan Hawke, which it was such a shock to me. I had to take like a triple take because everybody had him expected to win.
I truly feel bad for him because that was a great performance. I think it also just confirms that they're just not into Showtime unless you're Homeland.
Yeah, it's true. Showtime did not really rate that well, I'd say.
Yeah, like it didn't. I think a lot of people are also predicting Jeff Daniels and Bryan Cranston, which I never really believed because they weren't that strong anyway over the winter. Whereas like Ethan did manage to get some nominations here and there. And his performance and show were also more acclaimed, and he also wrote it and everything. But yeah, like he, I thought he could probably be the Ruffalo of this year, who would just win, not by default, but just kind of like, you know, he's like a highly respected actor, finally getting his due from his peers for a acclaimed like performance, if underseen show. But not now, he's not there anymore in this very, very open category.
Yeah, you had, I think you had Paul Bettany winning, right? And he's nominated. Why not?
I think, yeah, I've had him winning in first this entire time. And now I'm just like, he can totally do it. Cause look, here's the thing, they nominate a bunch of Hamilton people, actors. But are they actually going to give them the win for any of them? Like,
so here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't think Leslie Odom would win an Emmy for this. And he obviously is the best performance, but I feel like cause Lynn is the bigger name, like it would be like, well, I'm going to give it to Lynn, but I don't think Lynn's going to win either for this. So then you're left with like Hugh Grant, Paul Bettany and Ewan McGregor, the other nominees here.
Yeah,
I would pick Hugh Grant, but I think Paul Bettany.
You were such a Grant stan.
I was. I love him on that show. He's so good.
I feel like with WandaVision's over performance, 23 nominations, second most nominated show.
So that would lead me to believe Paul.
Not limited series show.
Right.
I feel like that really helps him. And he's also, you know, he's sort of like an Ethan Hawke. Maybe he's not as like revered, but he's been in the game for a really long time, been in a lot of films, you know, Oscar winners. Never really got his due either. So yeah, and like, yeah, it's a Marvel show. I know a lot of people were just kind of like, we don't know how WandaVision or like Marvel in general will do, but you know, they went all in on WandaVision.
Yeah, like we said, they had 3 writing nominations. We didn't expect that at all.
Oh yeah, we were dunking on it so hard, like what, 2 weeks ago, whatever.
So foolish.
Over submitting 8 episodes. I mean, first of all, it single-handedly pushed the writing category into 6 nominations, 6 in the field, because it submitted 8.
It's amazing.
And it managed to overcome vote splitting to get 3 in.
Truly remarkable. Kevin Feige must have, if Kevin Feige ever heard us, he would just be laughing. He must have
been like,
you dummies. How could you not think that we're gonna
dunk on this so hard castigating them for oversubmitting.
Amazing. Yeah. So why not Paul Bettany? Well, before we're going to get more Hamilton nominees, but lead actress in a limited series, the nominees were Cynthia Erivo for A Genius, Michaela Cole for I May Destroy You, Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown, Anya Taylor-Joy, or was it Anne Taylor-Joy, I believe, right? Anne Taylor-Joy for Queen's Gambit.
Anne Taylor, just like the clothing brand?
Yeah, just Anne Taylor. Like Anne Taylor Loft for Queen's Gambit, yeah. And Elizabeth Olsen for WandaVision. Not a lot of surprises here, though. I was bummed that Thuso Mavedu did not get nominated for Underground Railroad, and seemed like, yeah, so was Barry Jenkins.
Really surprising, ultimately. Like I finally dropped her last night for Cynthia, just because I, you know, like we've discussed before, like Underground Railroad will probably underperform, and it did. So
it did. And the other thing is, I mean, Cynthia Erivo with like the quintessential like baby performance as Aretha Franklin.
Sure.
Like hard to bet against that. But I mean, here again, I think we're lined up for Anya Taylor-Joy versus Kate Winslet. And they both performed really strong. I think 18 for Queen's Gambit and 16 for Mare of Easttown. So pretty, I really think that'll be a competitive race.
I'm going to stick with Kate.
I'm going to stick with Kate too, but I think that Queen's Gambit, Anya Taylor-Joy could win, obviously. I'm not, that's
Not well, like she's, like, she's, I would say she's still like the default front runner just because of how well she did over the winter. She won everything, but I think, you know, I think like Mare, I don't know, I wouldn't say it like overperformed, but it still did very well for that type of like a contemporary non-flashy show, like 16 nominations, you know. And you know, Queen's kind of it didn't really, I guess you can't say it underperformed because it still got nominations in those two categories, but it didn't get in Mario Heller or Bill Camp. It got in two different actors.
Pretty wild, right? That was a shock, honestly. Yeah, no Mario Heller, who was pretty much like running right behind Catherine Hahn for best supporting actress in the limited series in our odds, but not there, because the nominees there were Renee Elise Goldsberry for Hamilton, Philippa Sue for Hamilton, Julianne Nicholson for Queen, Mare of Easttown, Jean Smart for Mare of Easttown, Moses Ingram for Queen's Gambit, and Catherine Hahn. So, I mean, Moses was a surprise. I would say she's really good on the show. She plays
not in a lot,
comes in towards the end, like as like a full Deus Ex Machina character, basically, like kind of just like, hey, surprise, here I am, and here's some money, go fight the Russians and chess. But she also is quite good. So I'm like not against that nomination, but it's not like, I don't know, Mariel Heller, I think, has more to do on the show. And then the Hamilton nominations.
More baby performance and
yeah.
Yeah.
And the Hamilton nominations are just like amazing. So Renee Elise Goldsberry won the Tony in this category for Hamilton at the Tony Awards 5 years ago. So maybe I still don't think she's going to win. I think Catherine Hahn will win, but again, maybe Julianne Nicholson rising, but because
WandaVision is so strong. I love that Philippa won supporting at the Emmys because she was lead at the Tonys and she lost Cynthia Erivo.
Amazing.
So she avoided her here.
It's amazing.
I've had Julianne Nicholson in first since Mare ended, but you know, again, now with like WandaVision's overperformance, they both shows did really well. So I don't know. I don't know who I'll put in first.
Pretty tough. And then for outstanding supporting actor in a limited series or anthology series or movie, Daveed Diggs for Hamilton, Jonathan Groff for Hamilton, and Anthony Ramos for Hamilton. So that's 5, 6, 7 acting nominations.
Not in treatment, which a lot of people were predicting.
Amazing. And then Papa Asiedu for I May Destroy You, Evan Peters for Mare of Easttown, and Thomas Brody Sangster for Queen's Gambit. I kind of think this is lined up for Evan Peters to win now.
I would support it because I really enjoyed Zabes. Poor Zabes.
Who is expected here? I mean, Bill Camp was like an obvious snub.
Yeah, and like he got in at SAG, and like he and Daveed Diggs got in at SAG, and Daveed Diggs is the one who made it to the Emmys.
Again, I'm not surprised Bill Camp's not in it that much. So, but
yeah, like only the first episode. Like Thomas Brody Sangster, I think that's like a fun nomination, but I don't really see him winning. And Papa Asiedu, I put him in last night. I had like all three I May Destroy You people, but Verucha didn't get in.
Yeah.
Even though I think she was the one who was predicted to get in the odds. And then Groff almost.
Tony nominee.
Like the big snub, I guess, is John Boyega because he was in number one this whole time. And Small Axe really bombed. Sorry, but it did.
Totally it got, bombed. Small Axe absolutely bombed.
It got cinematography. Yeah, cinematography.
That's the only nomination. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, and honestly, Amazon maybe struggled slightly, right? Like Boys did well, but no Small Acts dominating this category. Like, and I don't
Underground
know.
Railroad.
Underground Railroad, maybe if not underperforming, not overperforming, right? Tough break. Boyega definitely felt like it. I just wonder if the fact that they were all in the, I just don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, Small Acts is like 5 different movies, and like maybe just like having them all together on the ballot lessens the power of like having them individually. I don't know. But yeah, like, so without him and Donald Sutherland was another potential nominee here, and he wasn't nominated for Undoing. So, I mean, I could really see like Evan Peters winning. I don't know.
I'm going to predict him because why not?
I saw like Sarah Paulson gave like a very nice like Instagram tribute to him for getting nominated. And I was like, he's really beloved. I feel like,
you know, and as an actor. AHS stars need to stick together. So,
yeah. So that was that's limited and anthology supporting actor. I don't know. I mean, anything else here? What else do we got in this category? Did we miss anything? Guest actor we did.
Did we do comedy guest? Did we do that? It's like all SNL again. Right.
Comedy guest
I don't remember.
Comedy guest is a lot of SNL, but actually it was, we did this with Jane Addams, Issa Rae, Yvette Nicole Brown for Black Lady Sketch Show, and Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph as hosts, and then Bernadette Peters for Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and then drama actress was Claire Foy, McKenna Grace, Alexis Bledel, Sophie Okonedo, and Felicia Rashad.
I just give a shout out to our contributor, Kevin Jacobson, because I told him because neither of us were predicting Anya Taylor-Joy or Anne Taylor-Joy for yes. SNL and guest. And I told him if she doesn't get nominated, then we will call this the Kevin Jacobson rule.
Nice.
Because he explained like his reasoning, or which I agree with, that like she's not the typical type of like actor they would nominate for SNL and guest.
I want to do a couple others, then we'll wrap up. Character voiceover performance gives Maya Rudolph 2 Emmy nominees because she was nominated for Big Mouth for playing Connie the Hormone Monstress. Jessica Walter with a posthumous nominee for Archer here. Stacey Abrams gets nominated for playing Stacey Abrams on Black-ish, his election special. Julie Andrews is a nominee here for Bridgerton. And then Titus Burgess and Stanley Tucci for Central Park. And Seth MacFarlane for Family Guy. That's fun. And the narrator, speaking of veterans, Anthony Hopkins, like we mentioned, is a nominee here for Mythic Quest. So you can have Anthony Hopkins winning. And like we said, Daniel Kaluuya could win for SNL. He's a nominee. A lot of Oscar winners here.
Yeah. And I think, isn't David Attenborough double nominated in narrator?
He is. A Perfect Planet he's nominated for. And also The Year Earth Changed.
Yeah, because he's won, the past 3 years? So I could see him vote splitting with himself. And then,
Tony. We get Anthony Hopkins, an Emmy, and an Oscar in the same year. Maybe they'll do Outstanding Narrator last in the Emmy broadcast. Cedric the Entertainer is going to bring everybody out.
Please do, and then he won't show up again.
That would be awesome. That would actually be a really funny bit. I don't think they would do it because it's, sad. But also,
they should at least make it last in their creative ceremony then.
Be so good. This is a lot of fun. I'm really into these nominees. I feel like a lot of good stuff was nominated. The Hamilton stuff is hilarious to me. So many acting nominees.
Do you think it can win anything? Is it just going to win Variety Special Pre-Recorded?
I think it'll win Variety Special Pre-Recorded, and I think it'd win some below the line stuff. I don't think any of those actors can win, though. I would be really surprised. I guess if there was any category where an actor could win, it would be that supporting actor one if Evan Peters isn't that strong, because it's not a strong category, I would argue. And then maybe David does win because he's got the showiest role, and obviously he won the Tony for it. I don't think Lynn and Leslie Odom are going to win, though.
Yeah, I think. Their actor nomination sort of reminds me of posthumous nominations where, a lot of people think remember Carrie Fisher got nominated after she died and a lot of people predicting her. And it's they tend to nominate these people, but very rarely do they actually end up winning, and I could kind of see that with Hamilton, and maybe now since a lot of people are dragging them. Or I don't know if they actually feel guilty, but there are a lot of people just what the hell, you nominated Hamilton. So I could see them being oh crap, I can't vote for them to win.
I think it's interesting that it feels a double whammy, because not only is it years after the show, obviously, and they all left, but it's also
performances are 5 years old, literally 5 years.
The performances are literally 5 years old, and the movie is literally a year old. That's the other thing that's funny, is that I know it's eligible, obviously, but it came out last year. We were talking about whether it would even get nominated for an Oscar or whatever the eligibility rules were, and they kind of fudged to make sure it wasn't. But this is no matter how you slice this, this is an old thing that has gone through the cultural ringer twice and now is nominated again. And that's not just one or two nominations, but multiple acting nominations, truly remarkable. It's Ted Lasso level acting nominations.
It's won Tonys, it's won a Grammy, and now it can't win the EGOT for this particular production, but it can win 3 of them.
Yeah, it could win and how would you say it?
It could win an Emmy. So,
if it wins.
So, yeah, but again, they're just going back to the familiar, because I thought Hamilton with acting, it would either just explode, which it did, or they would completely ignore it, but it exploded.
Yeah, I guess if you're voting for it, I guess you're if you vote for one, you kind of got to vote for all, because they all got Tony nominees, or most of them did, right? So it's just if we're going to put them all in, you can't just go I'm only going to vote for Lynn without putting, obviously then you got to put.
Yeah. And it's unlimited nominating ballot. So, but poor Jasmine, she didn't get in. and Christopher Jackson. Are they the only two?
Yeah, they were the only two major ones who didn't get in, I guess. Oh, and Oak, who did not get in.
Either. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, well, Jasmine got to do the Emmy nominees from a secure room in New York.
She won for a Quibi show.
Yeah. Again, shout out to Quibi with three nominees. That got John Travolta an acting nominee, his second acting nomination after People vs. O.J. Simpson, and Kevin Hart an acting nomination for their Quibi show.
What's going to win short form without Quibi?
I mean, hopefully a Quibi show. Let's see those nominees quick. It was
a dead Quibi show.
Yeah, right. I guess a dead Quibi show. Well, no, they're not. They're on Roku now. I'm having a tough time finding this category, so let's just forget. But I know, like, Die Hard, I think, was nominated. Let me see, which is the Kevin Hart
and Paula Pell is nominated.
Paula Pell is nominated. Travolta is nominated.
Not for Girls 5 Eva, but for
The other acting nominee. The other acting nominees from Quibi show were John Lutz and J.B. Smoove from the Paula Pell show, which is Mapleworth Murders. And Natalie Emanuel for Die Hard as well. So Die Hard got three acting nominees. Good for them, I guess.
Die Hard domination incoming.
I guess so. I mean, good for them. I don't know. I guess that's coming to Roku TV, right? Or Roku channel. Good for them.
I have no idea.
Joyce, this is fun. Let's get Caitlin up in here and do Marvel stuff because there's just too much. It was too much fun.
I don't think any of us expected WandaVision to do this well.
No, I think that bodes really well. I guess I would argue it bodes really well for Loki. I think they're going to be able to keep Loki around because Brittany, like, I think
Grant, man, he better not be in the finale tomorrow.
Because I think Loki is really good, and I think it's better than WandaVision. I think people are going to remember it. So let's leave it at that, and we'll reconvene
in the next month. Obviously,
yeah, we'll talk to Caitlin after the Loki finale. That'll be good. All right. Okay. Bye, Joyce.